So want to be one of the first to welcome you to the year of our Lord 2023, and want to start our time together thinking about how are you going to feed your spirit and your soul in 2023? Have you thought about that? You know, Jesus had a plan for his spiritual soul and life. You know, his prayer times were regular and intense. Do you have a plan for your spiritual and soulistic life next year? So, have you noticed God's organized and that God has a plan? Jesus had patterns in his life that he regularly took times for prayer and solitude. And what I want us to have in 2023 is an organized relational time with God without it being religious. So a relational time, not a religious activity. But I think it's good for us humans to have some organization to that so our minds don't wander and get distracted by, you know, all the things that the evil ones throw at us. But I don't want it to get to be religious to where we're just doing the same things repetitively. I think it should be an ongoing relationship that we develop and improve in this year. So, do you have plans for your devotional life? Will you read the Bible through with me? Or maybe listen to the Bible? I'm thoroughly enjoying that on my phone, that I listen to the passage of scripture for the day, and it's very nice to not have to struggle to pronounce names and locations. I can just listen to somebody way smarter than me say it. So the Bible reading plan I picked for 2023 is a chronological reading plan, and I can make that available to you. Maybe get John to put it up on the website. And this is a time where maybe you could try a translation you've never read of the Bible. I have a friend that's encouraging me to read the New King James, which I have never done. So why not try something fresh without all the markings and notes we usually put into our Bibles? And what about prayer? How are we going to improve our prayer life in 2023? Will you maybe use a notebook or a prayer page system or a pattern on your smartphone? So I have a new notebook and journal. I don't know what you're going to do, but it might be good to have something like that. If you want to join with us, our church prayer times are the first thing in the morning when you get up, and then stop around noon someplace and have some prayer time, and then again at sunset. So those are the times we're going to be praying if you would like to join in with us. So I'm doing the best I know how to encourage you to read the Bible and to read a devotional and to have a regular, organized, powerful prayer time. So I hope that you'll follow me in that. So the end of this sort of news clip or trailer is the only thing constant in life is change. When you think about it, change is the only consistent thing that there is. And nothing changes until one changes one thing. And when one changes one thing, it changes everything. So as we go into this new year, why don't you make a change and see what impact and effect it has on you a year from now? So tomorrow in church, I'm going to go over our 2022-23 mission and budget report, which I won't labor you with all of those numbers. And I'm also going to start a series of messages on Mark's gospel, the gospel of Mark, and look at it in the form of a gift from God. So this message I record for January 1 of 2023. I titled it John the Baptist Prepares the Way. And we're going to start Mark's Gospel, chapter 1, and do verses 1 to 4. So my introduction goes like this. Mark was not one of the 12 disciples of Jesus, but he probably knew Jesus personally. Mark wrote his gospel in the form of a fast-paced story, like we would do a novel today. Mark's book tells of Jesus as a man who backed up his words with action that consistently proved who he is, the Son of God. Because Mark wrote his gospel to Christians in Rome, where they worship many gods, he wanted his readers to know that Jesus is the one true Son of God. And you think about it, without God's revelation, our minds can't really comprehend the wonder of the infinite. But because of what we know about Jesus, thanks to writers like Mark, we can understand something about what God is like. Obviously not everything, but we have some insights into what God is like. Mark gives us an essence of his gospel in his very first verse. In English class, they would say that you had your purpose statement right up front. So both Jesus' enemies and his disciples wouldn't get it until his resurrection. So even though he said it right up front, they didn't get it until after he rose from the dead. When we read Mark, the message is clear that we must not ignore or reject Jesus Christ. We must focus on that life. So, our scripture text, I chose the New International Reader's Version of Mark chapter 1, verses 1 to 4. This is the beginning of the good news about Jesus Christ, the Son of God. Long ago, Isaiah the prophet wrote, quote, "I will send my messenger ahead of you to prepare your way," unquote. And that's from Malachi 3:1. A messenger is calling out in the desert, "Prepare the way for the Lord, make straight paths for him." And that's a quote from Isaiah 40, verse 3. And so John came. He baptized people in the desert. He also preached that people should be baptized and turn away from the sins, then God would be willing to forgive them. And that's the end of our scripture for today. My outline, John the Baptist prepares the way. Point one, the good news. Point two, my messenger. Point three, prepare the way. So the message translation of Mark 1:1 reads like this. The good news of Jesus Christ, the message begins here, following to the letter the scroll of the prophet Isaiah. That's the end of the message. So I looked up one of the very first PowerPoint messages I ever wrote for us. And in the beginning, and still today, this is my best idea about what God wants us to be about doing. So I wrote this for October 16th of 2005, and that was the first year that I had a computer and a projector to do PowerPoint. And the central verse is Isaiah 61, 1-4. I watched part of the movie series on television, The Chosen, last night, and the newest edition that came out, chapter 3, Jesus, in his hometown, reads this verse to his friends and family and causes a big stir, Isaiah 61, 1-4. But I used it to coin the vision for our church. And the cat, what I wanted you to understand, is the vision for our church. Our church vision, where do we want to go? Well, number one, how to write a vision statement. And it's one of those things that you think about, wouldn't that be nice? And that's the vision. Wouldn't it be nice if that happened? Secondly, What is the unique identity of our church? Third, what is the primary expressive call of our church? And four, what is our one thing, the one thing that we do best? So a ministry focus plan looks like this. The vision is Isaiah 61, 1-4 from the Message. Quote, "The Spirit of God, the Master, is on us because God anointed us. He sent us to preach good news to the afflicted. He sent us to bind up the heartbroken, announcing freedom to all the captives and pardon to all prisoners. God sent us to announce the year of His grace, a celebration of God's destruction of our enemies, and to comfort all who mourn, to care for the needs of all who mourn in Zion, give them a bouquet of roses instead of ashes, messages of joy instead of the news of doom that we hear, a praising in the heart instead of a spirit of fainting. We will rename them oaks of righteousness planted by God to display His glory. They will rebuild the old ruins, rise a new city out of the wreckage. They will start over on the ruined cities, take the rubble left behind and make it new, the devastations of many generations." And that's the end of Isaiah. So what I got from that, number one, is this is a work of God's Holy Spirit. The work of Isaiah is a work of the Holy Spirit. Two, it would include preaching will be good news, and it's focused on solutions, not just thoughts. Three, people called to us will be heartbroken, captives, prisoners, and the afflicted. Those are the ones we expect to recruit. Four, the purpose is to care for the needs of all who mourn, explaining to them the exchange life principles of Jesus Christ's resurrection life. Number five, worship will be in song and messages of joy and expressions of a praising heart. Six, the oaks of righteousness are the transformed lives that will be planted by God with us that will be a display of His glory. They, the oaks of righteousness, will rebuild and rise up a new city. So the mission from Jesus, I wrote this, is to develop Bible-based, Holy Spirit-dependent people through Christ-centered, good news preaching, personal worship, fellowship with each other, and discipleship. That's a mouthful, isn't it? Let me try that one more time. The mission we have from Jesus is to develop Bible-based, Holy Spirit-dependent people through Jesus Christ-centered good news of preaching, personal worship and fellowship with each other, and a pattern of discipleship. And I went to Matthew 28, 18 to 20, the last few things Jesus said before He ascended into heaven, and it reads like this. "And Jesus came up and spoke to them, saying, 'All authority has been given to me in heaven and earth. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you always to the end of the age.'" So that is our Lord's parting standing order for us. He has given us the authority to go make disciples. Our strategy is to recruit and train a team of people with God-given gifts to do teaching and worship and discipleship. And that should look like Ephesians chapter 4, 11 to 13. Goes like this. "And He gave some of us as apostles, and some as prophets, and some as evangelists, and some as pastors and teachers, for the equipping of the saints for the work of service, to build up the body of Christ until we attain the unity of faith and the knowledge of the Son of God, measure of a saint, to measure of the stature that belongs to the fullness of Christ." The end. So the process is to develop fully functional adult Christians. So this is our church vision. This is where we're going. Number one, wouldn't it be nice? Wouldn't it be nice to have restored, strong disciples helping others? Wouldn't that be nice? Number two, what is the unique identity of our church? Well, it's the transformed lives, the changed lives in people. Number three, what is the primary expressive call of our church? Well, it's a ministry to the misfits. That's who we're called to minister to. And number four, what is our one thing? And our one thing is discipleship, which is in essence what Jesus told us to do and gave us the power and the authority to do, is to go make disciples. So that's what we're intending to do. Now, our message from Mark goes like this. The John Baptist prepares the way. First, number one, good news. Isaiah was the greatest prophet of the Old Testament. Some may argue about that, but I think it's right. Isaiah was the greatest of the Old Testament prophets. And the second half of the book of Isaiah is devoted to the promise of salvation. A on your outline, this is our beginning for the year of 2023. And your two blanks are our beginning. We have good news about Jesus Christ, the Son of God. That's where we begin. Isaiah wrote about the coming of the Messiah, Jesus Christ, and the man who would announce his coming, John. We have just studied intensively the second coming of Jesus Christ in our study of Revelations. We can be like John the Baptist and prepare people for Christ's second coming. John the Baptist prepared people for his first coming. We can be preparing people for his second coming. B on your outline. This is where we can begin 2023, sharing the good news about Jesus Christ, the Son of God. So I gave you three blanks. We begin sharing. And that's what I want us to do. Begin sharing again the good news of God, that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. So point two on your outline is my messenger. A on your outline, Isaiah prophesied, my messenger will come. And your three blanks are, messenger will come. And the point of that is, Isaiah said it was going to happen, and it did. Jesus gave us the power and authority to make disciples, and that's what we should be doing. He says he's coming back soon, and we should be preparing our lives and others to be ready. Prepare the way for the Lord, Malachi 3:1. John's call is to make straight paths for Jesus Christ and to make people, encourage them to give up their selfish way of living. So a straight path for Jesus and people giving up their selfish way of living is what we're challenged to do. John's call to people was to renounce their sins and seek God's forgiveness and to establish his words in their hearts as they were written down in Isaiah chapter 1, actually all the way to chapter 57, but fulfilling those words in and through our lives. Be on your outline. We are a messenger calling out to the desert of our world. And your blank is messenger. John the Baptist preached to a group of people that were floundering, lost, and doing a lot of things similar to what's going on in our world. And there is a desert out there of people who need the living water of Christ's life. Our message today should be very similar to John's message. That's what our message should be, like John's. You can help people see the value of knowing Jesus Christ and his resurrection life. We can help them to see that. So on your outline, the good news, the messenger, and finally, prepare the way. A on your outline, we are to prepare the way for the Lord. and your blank is prepare. We're to prepare the way of the Lord, the way of the Lord into people's hearts. Make straight paths for him. Help those people straighten out the crooked things in their lives and be open to allowing the Lord to walk into their life. Make it easy for him and them. John the Baptist prepared the way for Jesus. People who do not know Jesus need to be prepared to meet him. We need to be helping these people be prepared for meeting Jesus Christ. We can prepare the way by explaining to them their need for forgiveness. That would be a good thing to help them understand that they need to be forgiven of sin. And by our lives that are surrendered to Jesus Christ's teaching, and our conduct, and our telling them how Christ can give their lives meaning, that could be helpful to them. So, demonstrating a surrendered, transformed life, that's primary. Demonstrating a transformed life, sharing our testimony of how Christ changed us, teaching them to obey the things Jesus said, and telling them that Jesus Christ can give their lives meaning here and now and there and then. We can make straight paths for him by correcting the concepts and misconceptions that might be hindering people from approaching Christ. There are a lot of misconceptions out there that are keeping people resistant to the gospel. So, what can you do to prepare the way for a person? What do you think? What could you do? Be on your outline. John baptized people in the desert, and the blank is baptized. John baptized people in the desert. In John's ministry, baptism was a visible sign that a person had decided to change his or her life. It was an external expression of an internal change. They were visibly stating the truth that they were giving up sinful and selfish ways of living in their life and turning to God. John took a known custom and gave it a new meaning. I don't know if you know this or not, but the Jews often baptized non-Jews who had been converted to Judaism. So if a Gentile wanted to become Jewish and converted, he would be baptized. Now, but to baptize a Jew as a sign of repentance was a radical departure from Jewish custom. John was not only baptizing in the Jordan River, he was going against the current because Jews didn't need to be baptized. Only the Gentiles coming into Judaism need to be baptized. So John threw a big rock in the pond when he was doing this baptizing of Jews. See on your outline, John preached people should be baptized and turn away from their sins. So I have three blanks. Baptized is one thing, and turn away are the other two blanks. So they should be baptized and they should turn away from their sins. God would forgive them. He wants to forgive them. He wants to forgive the people that we know. Then the early church took baptism a step further, associating with Jesus' death, burial, and resurrection. And we can read about that in Romans chapter 6, verses 4, and we can read it in 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 21. Both help us understand how the early church took this baptism practice that the Jews did with the Gentiles, and then John did with the Jews, and then the early church did it with believers. So here's my conclusion for today. A new year is like a new day, and we can make a fresh start. We have good news. Jesus has sent us to preach good news to the afflicted. He has sent us to bind up the brokenhearted and to announce freedom to all captives and a pardon to all prisoners. God sent us to announce the year of his grace, a celebration of God's comfort to all who mourn. We have a message of joy instead of the news of gloom and doom, a praising heart instead of a fainting spirit. So, the Message translation of Mark 1:1 reads like this: the good news of Jesus Christ, the message begins here. Let's begin there. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, thank you so much for coming and for having John the Baptist come and prepare a way. We are so humbled and thankful that you would call us to be the ones who take your good news to the captives, to the brokenhearted, to the weak, to the fainting. Lord, would you bless our efforts with the presence of your Holy Spirit? And as we surrender to your life, would you accomplish magnificent things in other people's lives through your work and ours? We thank you, Lord Jesus. We thank you for this, the year of our Lord, 2023. Amen.
We're ready for more, ready for more.